for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. So what happens when we get to meet those lovely, healthy, self-worth men and women? We got to chit-chat about this one on the YouTube channel, but we're going to continue a little bit of the conversation, and it might be a short one, and then I'll make an extended version, or we'll just have more topics on it. But healthy self-worth indicates that you have your inner child in the forefront, and so you don't have envy, jealousy, spite, revenge. You don't do any of that. You're an empowered woman or man, and you know that we all either have our attachment in the forefront or not. So if you're securely attached or you have attachment wounds, okay? And those who don't, they're the Cuscos, they're the maladaptive child behavior, they're the, you know, Peter Pans, Pinocchios, they got ears and tails and all that. So the shame cycle is not funny. People who don't know how to have great conversations. It's also not anything that we need to be concerned with. When you meet healthy self-worth, whether they are polyamorous or monoamorous, there's what's called mutual respect. So we have the ability to have healthy conflict. Nobody is getting triggered. Nobody gets angry or, you know, puts their own... they don't want to have those types of reactions. They enjoy contemplative conversations. Okay, so this one, obviously, I want to specify, I'm in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group, and I am interested in a lot of topics, but I like to talk to grown-ups. And so grown-up is a person who is able to not take anything personally at all, not just some things, everything. That means you are not going to get pissy in your pants because I am talking about whether it's a cultural difference, political, religious, it doesn't matter. When I was a teenager and a young adult growing up, definitely I had my way of working with that. You all know this, I'll share. And that's why the 5D Collective, it's all people that are self-aware through meta-awareness, and you know about your emotional stuff. So if somebody tells you, you know, this is a little bit exaggerated, don't you think? You're like, you know what? Maybe I'll say no initially, but then I'll say, you know what? Let me think about it, am I? And that's because our emotions, our charges, as long as you don't take the personal development and do it, okay? So we're all at the end of Elsa's journey. We know that you have a three-year-old, I have a three-year-old, and they both can get upset with the teenager. We don't want that. That's not what grown-ups do. So grown-ups like to talk. And that's about cultural differences, political, again, all of it. Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to take a sip of water 1 second. When you meet healthy self-worth, anyone's, we're going to look at romantic for a minute. You're not going to be interested in the physical. And it's not because of sex not being something that is important. It's because you care about meeting people who you don't know them. if you have just met them, Okay, so I have most of the people I know in my life have been long-term people. And not short. If there's anybody that's been short-term, quote-unquote, it's because I've met them in the last, you know, 5 years. And there are people. There's a couple of different groups that I would say I've had a lot of years with COVID and a little bit prior to COVID. And so those would be the newbies, if you will. So I got a lot of oldies and I got newbies. But that doesn't change the amount of love we have for each other, at least for me. I don't know about them, but I can speak for myself. My friends are all from my teenage childhood to now loved equally. Nobody is more loved or less loved. Like when my mother, she gets teased by my younger sister and I because we say, you love Tina more, our twin. My twin, not our twin. She's my younger. So long story short, though, we will tease because they have a good rapport. But that's where nobody's loved more or less. Okay, so you get the picture of what I'm trying to say. The same thing goes for those of us who are polyamory and even monoamory, I think, but I don't know because I'm not a monoamorous person. I moved beyond the monoamory when I got to my twin flame too, and that's where my love and the expansion of love in and of itself was already happening as a teenager because I told my teenage boyfriend, you know, I love all of you equally. You're not more special than my other friends. You just are part of my life in a way that we decided we're going to build our life together. So that's all. But you're going to have to share me with other people. You know that, right? And don't think you're going to tell me how to do anything. You're not. You and I are sharing life. So that means that I do me and you do you. And that's it. And that has not changed one bit. I am still the same teenager, but I'm a grown up. And I'm now polyamory. With him, I totally would have done polyamory had we gotten to that at a certain point. But we didn't. Which is good because I got to be freed to explore the world and meet a lot more amazing men. And that's when you do understand that those who do not know love, well, they won't learn unless they want to learn. And that's not funny for the people who don't learn because they end up becoming people who think that as you get older, they're badass when they're not, men and women alike, okay? But I was trying to get to the love is the constant because of being a securely attached, me, empowered woman. So in my body, I love who I am. I'm presenting who I am. And no matter what kind of situation I get to be, adult, I'm not going to shy away from being my whole three-year-old heart and being myself. So some people will have said to me, don't you think you should change? Or I thought you would change. And so, yes, these are men that I have interests. And whenever that has come up, I actually found it humorous in all instances. And in some, I found it odd because I've spelled out, I just want to be loved for who I am. And when I will speak clearly, I will have thought that somebody will have heard. You know what I mean? Like with gender stereotypes. Anybody who does get to know me great and well will know that I dislike them to the ends of the earth and beyond, because I find it disrespectful, humanly speaking. When I was a feminist for a short time, I learned that I was not really into a feminist. I was into, we all should be respected as people who are different. It's not only about women, it's also about men. And it's because I'm a person. So days are included, of course, for me. Anybody who's not into the using of man or woman, I'm saying humanly speaking, every person is a person. And therefore, I will acknowledge that you have a subjective experience. That doesn't mean that I will change up any of those laws or any of those systems that ensure our physical safety. And right now we're seeing, right, a lot of in between, but that's not for this conversation or us. We're personal development. So, but we can talk to people about these topics and nobody is reactive. Means you let somebody say whatever they want and you say whatever you want, and it's an actual interesting conversation where nobody's trying to change the mind of anybody else. That's where healthy self-worth is. It's I'm going to speak to you because I'm having what is called a conversation, and if you and I can maintain it, it's because we're mature enough to know that we're exchanging thoughts and nobody's trying to change the mind of anyone. Now that we may want to bring in food, this is the part. You will want to bring in food for thought. If you are a person who cares about your herd, it is only by being able to talk. And people don't do that when they actually are trying to prove that they're right. That's the adaptive child. It's not a functional adult. Okay, so putting that to the side, love is a constant because you're an empowered person and you're able to speak about anything and everything with people in general. When I have had few times the opportunity to speak about things because others bring them up, and I notice that they get intensely unreasonable, I will disengage. And that's because I'm not having a debate. If I want a debate, I'd be a politician. I'm not one. So the minute you begin to show me that I cannot have a conversation, I'm not going to address your ego. I'm going to shut it down. And I will do so in a very straightforward and eloquent way, which is, you know, I'm pretty sure we're agreeing to disagree right now. And so I think we've shared, you know, all of it. I think we can stop, right? And that's what actually can happen also, by the way, with people who are completely healthy self-worth. And it's not because we are disagreeing. No, it's because, let's say, we talked about everything and we've exhausted the conversation. Okay, pretty sure we're done now. Yep, we're done. Okay, cool. Let's move on to the next topic. And that's how it works. Okay, so love is a constant when it comes to building secure connections. That's where polyamory, in the solo poly group, we have relationship anarchy and non-hierarchical. And so that is where you develop with some secure base. Some are your safe havens, some are safe haven secure base. It all depends, because obviously you're also talking. So when it comes to romantically speaking, here's where romance involves two people actually spelling it out. I'm in love with you in a romantic way. Not just so, you know, you can have a good rapport, you can have a good good chemistry, good feeling, good everything when it comes to secure connections, but you won't move to that next step unless there's two people who talk about it. And that doesn't ever change. It actually is quite cute, if I have to say, when I think about my teenage years and then when I think about, yeah, just the growing up. But really, as a young adult, once I got broken up from my teenage boyfriend, those were all really fun years. As I got to the first year, I got to go and have fun. And then I got into another relationship. And then after that one, I got into another relationship. And here is where the open relationship went well for me. My boyfriend wasn't really happy once we reconvened, but I was like, I told you this was going to happen. I made it very clear to you this was non-negotiable. So I'm not sure how you didn't hear my words. And then we reverted to monoamory, and then we broke up, and then my lovely, you know, twin flames. So for me, the twin flames is something that's not comparable to what were relationships in the absence of Claire's. That's because you are opened up to a whole new world. So my 5D mystics, those of you who are here, you understand though that twin flames, soulmates, they're still people. Okay, so you don't have any obsessive thinking. That doesn't happen for a 5D person because you are the owner of your brain. And so you have a healed inner child, or you're aware of your own inner child. And that means there's your one-year-old and your 3 to 7 shame submissive, but you're the grown-up of you. So you're not charged. And you're not going to project onto your soulmates or your twin flames your emotional stuff. You're going to seek conversation. Those are two different things, okay? And so for me, I was really aware of all the expansion moments as they happened with my twin flames, like the emotional body mastery, and then moving from emotional body to physical body and concluding all three, thanks to those three lovely twin flames. And as time moved forward, though, you get to look back and see, okay, here's where all of the aspects took place, like moving into the 5D and breaking out of 4D, that one, the dismantling. And I can use Patrick McNamara, his decentralization of the self and religious self and how expansion happens. And that's why when you look at enlightenment the human way, it is your restorative embodiment. It's you being able to move here, which is where I'm at, integration of the brain and the ability to regulate your nervous system, safe haven and secure base. Emotionally mature people, we don't attach to each other. We love to be around each other, okay? And so here's where when you meet healthy self-worth men and women, you will have free lovers around you. They're their inner child. You're your inner child. And so again, the attachment is built over time because we get to know the felt sense of self of each other. And as we get to know each other, we will be delighting in each other. The people who don't want to move into love, they will shut themselves down and out, and they will use words such as I'm not capable of giving you what you want when you're not asking of them anything. If they're a person who is attachment and trauma informed, so they're actually seeking information they know about, it's a whole different world. So that would be a person who says, I won't be shutting this down. Hey, let me let you in on a little secret. I feel pressure whenever I'm in a healthy self-worth relationship. So they would know about things that you and I over here on the talk. Okay, here's what an avoidant will do if they're wanting to grow a long-term relationship. They're not going to shut themselves down. They're going to have the conversation. But they're going to be smart enough to recognize, I'm not unworthy. I'm afraid of being unworthy. This is a feeling that I have. It's not reflected outside of me. If somebody consistently tells me you're beautiful the way you are, and I'm the one who keeps feeling that I'm not, I'm the one who has the insecurity. And so there comes a moment in time where if you meet a healthy self-worth woman and you're a man who has avoidant potential attachment wounds and you keep hearing you're awesome, you're awesome, you're awesome, if you're self-aware and emotionally aware, you're going to be like, okay, so here's the deal. I'm being told, you know, by a person that I do trust that I'm awesome, awesome sauce. Okay, I'm the one who doesn't think I'm awesome. So do I really want to do the let me cut you off? Okay, again, it's not always straightforward, but it is at the same time. Trauma, we can't delete it, but it can be minimized. When you're with a person, if you've known them, if I've known you my entire life, and I'm 44, so there are most of the people, I've known them my entire life. The newer ones, again, are about 5 to 6 years, my college mates. But I will expect, and that's why expectations are better to be removed, but if I've known you my entire life, I'm going to think you know how to talk to me. Now, there's one person that showed me how this is not true, and I always need to revert back to him, the one friend that I did not speak to for 5 years. He's the one who showed me how people don't know how to be their self due to fear of rejection. Bessel van der Kolk confirmed it, in fact. But you will still hear people talk to you as if they are aware of themselves. And so you will believe the words that a person speaks to you when you're engaging, which is why when you move beyond concepts such as the one, like in my case with the twin flames, like I said, definitely mysticism plays a part, but so does remembering that people have an ego self. And then remembering, okay, their behavior is what counts and what tells me what they want from our relationship. So once again, romance is not going to be part of a relationship if two people don't talk about it. And in the meantime, what does though develop between healthy self-worth, beautiful men, women, days, and that's because we're all beautiful, but the healthy self-worth are kind and compassionate because they have restorative embodiment, integration of the brain. It is your mammalian heritage and you can be here, and it's because it's your humanity. And that's what I love about the 5D educators. They're all over the place sharing how to be a person that's a pacha. And the pachas of the world, what I can tell you, and oh, I hope you heard me pretty well. I didn't notice my microphone is a bit lower, but I'm just going to keep it there so it's a constant instead of changing it up at the end of our episode. What you're going to notice is that people who are aware of their self, they will notice the inconsistency of their left mode chit chatter. As if I have known you again my entire life, and you're telling me that I am a beautiful person, and I am the one who's saying no, I'm not, and then I'm the one who's shutting you out, and I'm the one who's behaving well, you're not looking yourself in the mirror, are you? And the part about how the experts explain it, sure, of course, I get it. Until a person has space to feel that they're worthy of love, totally get it. The whole part about ditching you and going to commit to somebody who treats them like shit, oh, I've seen it. Not even only heard about it, I legit have seen it. And while unempowered women will keep looking at that, an empowered woman will do this. I know that they know what they want in life. They will mentally in their brain know what and who they fucking want to fuck, to be with, all of it. That's it. They're making a conscious choice. I ain't their mother, I ain't their father, I ain't their parent. I am nobody to say what is good for them. No, they will say what's good for them. So if you're empowered, at a certain point you get tired. For me, I get tired of hearing the ones on Elsa's journey as they crap on people, men or women alike, that they will have known. And they, it's like when you watch a game and you got those people who are yelling in the screen. I did it for a short time. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm not playing the game, right? So when somebody else wants to tell somebody else they are dating some shitty person, no, they're dating who they want to date. They're doing what they want to do. You will have compersion. That's what healthy self-worth means. Means that I'm happy if you're happy, not that I'm going to keep on looking like you don't know what you're doing in life. It's a really small one energy, but it's also egoic, and it's not true, because you will be choosing from your left mode how to talk about what you will have done, how you will have acted, and what you will have chosen. So in my book, you're pretty smart. And in 2024, there's plenty of attachment trauma information to make people aware of if they have attachment wounds or trauma. So the minute you don't notice I'm giving up a relationship because I feel defective, because I feel that I don't deserve it, and then you're going into the arms of some people or other people, or you're doing self-soothing mechanisms, which is going to be what you first of all do. So you shut yourself down, then you go and do the fucking, the drinking, the drugging. Oh yeah, sure. Tell yourself that you're really rocking and rolling. I mean, you're completely a person who's using the word smart and empowered versus what am I doing? Relationships, they're pretty straightforward. If you meet a stranger, that's a whole different thing. A stranger, you begin to get to know. That's what I'm saying. if you've known each other for a long time and then there's a specific way that people behave, they are going to not be emotionally available. An emotionally available man or woman will not be hiding themselves. They won't be doing the silent treatment. They won't come in and out. They won't do any of what is inconsistent communication. The women or men that are all over the content, using it to poke at each other, they're codependent types who are still low self-esteem, is why they're poking at each other. And so with that being shared, when we meet those who are pachas, this does not happen. You get intimate because you get secure, you build a safe haven, secure-based relationship, and you get to know each other. And it's very organic, it's very beautiful, and that's the part. Nothing changes. Actually, what happens is you grow more fond of each other, and you grow more honest and more, you know, like symphony and music and all that great bunch of stuff, okay? So when healthy, self-worth people meet all over, like I said, the romance, that part is a conversation, and that will happen first, not the sex part. So the romance stuff happens between two people who were strangers, and then, okay, I'm getting very interested, intrigued, I want to let you know, and like I was saying, I haven't had any of that since I was like a teenager, because all the people I know, I've known pretty much my entire life. And whenever I meet anyone as a mystic, here's the part with my oversoul, I know my soulmates. I know my twin flames, and that won't be changing. So while a person who doesn't have this this stuff, and I know for those of you who are not mystics, it's woo, it's okay, I get it. But yeah, there's something different for the ones of us who have a relationship with the sphere. And that's because the downloads that we get of our past lives, they're not just in our imagination. The difference I want to also share is when you're in the enlightenment soul age group, at least from what I can tell you, when I hear Sadhguru, and he, a long time ago, I heard this video where he's talking about when he has seen his past lives, that it doesn't take and affect him, da 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 da. It's very fair and square. So with my downloads, all of them, I'm not attached to them as true or not true. Each and every one of those groups of downloads, because they will have come to me in groups, makes complete sense with the people that are the downloads are with. It's amazing. So the most amazing part is that it completely reflects what I will know my relationship with those human beings to be. And that's the part of why for a mystic, at least in my case, I can share polyamory, but not in anyone is not anyone, but you're still going to go through, again, like I said, the same process of getting to know people. Oh, and you also don't close yourself off to anything, that's for sure. Just because I might not think of you as part of my oversoul as a mystic doesn't mean I won't be intrigued by you, but I will notice if you're emotionally available or not. That's actually what's going to have me know that we are growing, is that we are sharing heart-to-heart conversations. If we're not, then we're not growing anything. Downloads or no downloads, you know. So that's the part of where it doesn't make or break anything when you do know of your soulmates, twin flames. It is simply an added piece of information that reflects what, in fact, your relationship with the people will be, okay? Just to be clear. And so that's what I'm trying to get at, is a person who has a sense of knowing will have a sense of knowing on the two spectrums. One, I'm building an open-hearted relationship and I'm growing fonder and fonder of time and da-da. Two, if you are part of my past lives for my mystics in the 5D plane and potentially the enlightenment soul age group, then I will also be aware of that. Okay, I will get a download, and or more than just a download at a certain point. This has been confirmed for me since my twin flames. I've had two, and that's, yeah, two, three. I'm trying to think right now while I'm talking to you all, but at least three people that are in downloads that I was not aware of before my twin flames, and that I am now completely aware of, actually four, excuse me. So this is between men and women, and that I have shared lives with. One of them is future, because I wasn't able to get the past, but that's because they were asking about something. And I also, you will know that you get the information that is for them. And if you need, not need, but if there's any for you, you get what's for you. But you'd have to sit down to continue the downloads. And here's the thing, a 5D mystic is busy with life, like people life. Okay, so we're not going to be spending time to do, let me identify what year it was and No, it's not really important. Unless, you know, you're going to do that with the person who's interested in it. And that's a whole different story. But long story short, healthy self-worth people, they're awesome to meet. They're awesome to build with. And when it's romance, well, you can know that that's a person who knows how romancing works, because they're emotionally available. And so that's one of the things that is most adorable. And I say adorable, but I would say most exciting is when you get to figure out if that's going to happen or not. Just saying. So that for me is why love is awesome. But it's not the same as when I hear people that do in and out behavior, the ones who crap on each other. I'm saying that you don't stop trusting love because of meeting people who don't know love. This is one of the saddest things that I see, when people think that they have been given, you know, some 10 scars, 20 scars, and really what they need is a good therapist, not the scar journey of let's compete to see how many got more disappointing. It's like, okay, how many of you want to drink 20 liters of coffee? When I became a marketer, I remember all of these adults, they were all talking about how much coffee they were drinking. I'm like, you're all going to die. I mean, I know I drink a lot of coffee too, but they were competing. They were competing how much coffee they could drink, how many times they could not sleep at night. And to this day, I see people who do shit like this. I'm like, okay, I really think you want to take your, you know, health seriously, not try to have a competition on what you're going to not allow your body to do. And again, this is something that you either learn because you were given the appropriate education, which I did. Moderation is key. And that's because the equanimous land is moderation. When you're a grown up, you know how to use the left and right mode when you're choosing self-awareness. And it's not something that is a competition. So please, let's remember that there are people who are on a journey and will be on a journey, and they will join us thanks to our Conversations IHP community. There are those who will want to pretend to be emotionally mature. You will notice who they are the minute they start talking, and not only talking, it's the minute that they start to describe what their life. When somebody talks about their life, you'll know if they're suffering or if they're a love. If they're suffering, they have the opportunity to embrace. For them, it would be post-traumatic growth. If they're already talking about life as it's sucking, they can find a good therapist, because that's when they would understand the window of tolerance. And I'm not joking, because it's not fun to have attachment wounds or trauma charges. It's not just the charges, because we all have the basic charges. Attachment wounds, childhood developmental trauma, so dysregulated and modulated embodied individuals, they have not at all a feeling that is good. It's very sad trauma. It's not deleted. It's minimized, but there is the option to be self-aware. So now that we have great information and we can create more conversations that lead people to understand, this ain't no competition, okay? So if you meet an avoidant, there's no need for you to go around saying, oh, that avoidant is going to date someone like a piece of shit. It's more of, I'm so sorry that that person doesn't recognize they can go get help. But then again, they're choosing, you know, to do what's comfortable. So they're dating people who are unfinished business. I will leave it alone. It's not my job to tell a person how to handle their attachment wound. That's how a grown-up will evaluate when they know information. They will also, FYI, treat any avoidant, ambivalent, disorganized, any human being that crosses their path, they will treat with respect. So it's not only about the words you speak when you're on screen or on camera. No, it's when you're presented with the opportunity And that is the part. I have seen many a woman think they are empowered and they treat people that are avoidance or disorganized or ambivalence like pieces of shit. And that's because they have a teenager and they're on Elsa's journey and they didn't figure out that they have an attachment system as well. And that anytime you get into your upset mood, I got taught it. I was lucky, see? I got lucky. I got a twin. I got taught how to work with my tone. I still get reactive with my mother and my twin, but not as much because I started to work on my tone. Why? Because my tone and my three-year-old is not a reflection of how much I love my family. I love all people, but, you know, they're my family. You know, I grew up with them. So my mom is like she's my column. I started working on getting over her death when I was a kid. And I knew that, and I still know, and I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. See, I knew and know that no matter what you will do, this is the one thing. So this is also why you don't go around telling somebody, hey, why don't you look at your family? Because they would have a right to punch me in the face. I would punch me in the face if I ever had that type of, you know. So people will talk a talk. And when I see people talking talk, they're just as annoying to me as the ones who think they're smart and then they don't notice their emotional plane. And, you know, it is what it is. So we have plenty of opportunities to keep on working to love and to share with people. Spirituality, a way of living with meaning. And also people who talk about attachment wounds, then you will also know, okay, if a person comes in and out of my life, I don't need to get in their face. I'm going to ask questions, and then I'm going to figure it out. I don't need to use the word breadcrumbing. I don't need to use the word ghosting. I don't need to use the word they're an asshole. I don't need to use any of those words once I understand the mathematics behind an attachment wound. I can say, this is so sad. When I began to find out about trauma, I got really, really sad because I am a loving person. I don't say kind because I know that I don't and will not always be seen as kind, which is, I learned that as a kid, but I learned how much torture happens in the body of a person when they meet a safe nervous system. This breaks my heart. It did not make me get in any way, shape, or form angry. I got sad, and then I said, oh my gosh, how many people should I try to move away from and not be near? Like, this is how I responded to finding out about what a securely attached, healthy, self-worth person can do. Obviously, at a certain point, you also realize that it's not my thing, but I mean, initially, with all the information, it made me really sad, not mad. And that is where the 4D, they're all Elsas. I don't like when I see people using a word and then they don't know what it means, but it doesn't matter right here. It doesn't matter what I like or don't like. My awareness, your host here, is that I'm curious about being a person and I support people to be their self. So I know that anybody who's angry, they need a good therapist is what I'm going to say. Everybody feels the way they feel and will have had their experiences, but if you know about trauma, you will not treat any person like a piece of shit. You will know healthy boundaries. That's all I'm saying. So I notice who uses words, but they don't put it into practice. They just use the fancy little words because it's a trending topic. So is yoga, isn't it? So we got trenders, trendsetters. How many want to be a trendsetter? And those are all teenagers. That makes me think, who wants to be popular today? Let's go find out. The Matthew 6:1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Let's go beyond that, shall we? Non-Christians or just non-religious people, here you go. Same applies. We're being good to show off rather than just for the sake of good. But you know what? Let's also go one step further. It's not even about the sake of being good. It's that I have knowledge. I gained knowledge. Me, Maria, again, your host, by taking courses. I have luck. I'm a securely attached inner child that never lost myself. Thank you, mother, because my mother never got angry in my face and scared me to the fucking death of me. Okay, so I don't like to be around angry people. I won't. I will leave. the minute I begin to see that you're angry, I'm going to get out. And if you are reactive, I'm going to try not to do anything that gets reactive. Is it fear? You can call it whatever the fuck you want. I just know I'm not having a good time anymore, and there's no need for it. There's no need for that nervous system, because anger served a purpose in our ancestors' past. It no longer serves a purpose. And the fact that you want to grow up and tell me that the trigger that is your emotional child, your unresolved shit, that I need to put up with it because it's normal. No, it's not. It's a normal response for a person who doesn't want to take their self and become aware and learn how to harness. It's called gut anger management, for number one, for example. I'm just saying, like, emotions, we all have the basic. There's a way to be mature with them. So when people justify their reactions, it's because they don't have the knowledge. I have the knowledge. Let me share with my mouth. So thanks to my knowledge and my luck of being a person who has healthy self-worth, I'm just a decent human being who cares about sharing. You can be you. Yeah. And when you meet people who can be them, they're awesome. So what I love, and I'm gonna close with this one, is I have a beautiful, healthy, self-worth man that I get to enjoy and delight in different conversations. And since the beginning of our conversations, I've been able to see us grow to dance a dance of words and harmony and all and more. And it's always growing more and more amazing, because they're more in themselves, they're more easygoing. And so the more easygoing they are about all the topics, the more we get to explore. This is what it means to be emotionally intrigued with life and each other and topics. And that is what is actual restorative embodiment of self. Okay, so it's as you, man, woman, or they, enjoy conversing with another and or more. And again, romance or not, doesn't matter. And you're actually delighting in life as it comes. But that's because your body is doing this too. It's not only your left mode. The left mode is the chit-chatter. No, your body is safe. You're safe, you see? You're safe to be yourself with another human being. You're safe to talk about anything with another human being. Why anything? Because you have a healthy, self-worth human being in front of you. What is also safe, though, is the other. That's why I'm talking about my man friend. The other works on their reactivity because they're looking to harness their emotional plane. No, because they can feel the difference as they begin to expand. It's something beautiful, integration of the brain, because it's you not in a control. It's in a, I'm actually learning to, the difference between control and poetry, flow. So you're dealing with the unknown, uncertainty, and unwanted. By going within you, using your heart, your name, and your flow, the inner growth mindset, the foundations, the three main modules. Okay, so like my friend, he accepts himself for who he is, he grows, he expands, he's doing integration. And it's based on his own personal journey, and he gets to share life with him. I get to enjoy it, and whenever I get the opportunity, I share it, because I like enough spaces. I don't like to be in aggressive spaces. It doesn't make me comfortable, and I won't talk more. I will talk less. I will shut down because I don't want that. Because as a 0-1-year-old and 3-year-old who got handled with fun, thank you, mother, and the 7-year-old, I had a child-centric environment. And so if you begin to get into a nervous system that is upset, and I don't want to talk to you anymore. And then as a grown person, I will still choose. I don't want to talk to you. You don't know how to use your brain. And I don't see why I should talk to somebody who's closed-minded, quote unquote, meaning that your reactivity is not something you're taking into consideration when we are just talking. Now, passion is totally different. And that's why, like, I use my friend again, he gets passionate. But passion is different. And the way that he explores that with me, and it's because he makes me aware of it. So when you notice a person and how they're behaving, you'll notice, how can I have them know it's safe? Okay, so this is where the two, it's me and another, that's called the mui. This is why it's a differentiated self and another differentiated self, saying, okay, we can link. And we're aware of each other's emotional bodies. Like if I get annoying, I try to leave and not be annoying, because sometimes I can feel annoying, or somehow my presence is not desired, and it's okay. I'm not taking it personally. I will try to leave it alone and go away so I can leave space. This is mutual respect, accepting, and openness and loving. And so that's where you grow healthy self-worth with each other as well. And then the part about just noticing that you're welcomed as you are. And you know, again, how far you take moving into your capacity, those of you who are tuning in to talk about anything, is yours. I love talking about everything, but if I meet Cuscos, I'm going to start saying, okay, I won't talk about that, 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 I won't talk about anything that begins to get you in a pissy mood, because I'm not trying to have a contest, I'm trying to have a conversation. The minute you begin to get agitated, and also you ask for me for data, I don't have data, I'm not a regurgitation of anything, so this is something that every person's different, so people have different interests. Some people, they want to get into conversations, to have debates. I don't, personally. Okay, and yeah, some people, they're really into trying to prove something. I, again, know. And that's why mentally, emotionally, and physically, people are either drawn to each other or not. And when they are, they grow more together. And if romance comes about, again, it's a conversation as for getting together physically. Any healthy self-worth person will be very much okay with that as a person if you're meeting people that are emotionally available, because there's a consistency in expanding together. The ones who come in and out, they show themselves for who they are, and that would be that they are not emotionally available to expand with you. So again, nobody's looking and saying, oh, they should do life different, they should be this, they should do that. No, that's not even close. We're happy for people that have moved to other lovers. So for my polyamory compersion, it's easy when you have healthy self-worth. I haven't had one partner that I'm not looking to the past and saying, I'm happy that they're happy, because they're happy. I know of their happiness. I get to keep in touch with them. If they're upset, I know that they're upset. They know that I'm here for them. This is where all of our relationships, they're important to us. Nobody has a preference, a bigger or lesser status. We recalibrate to match each other's safe haven, secure base. What's the word? It's not always a conversation, okay? Because some people, they don't know how to tell you what they want. So you learn how to notice what they want, because they'll make you aware of what they want as those interactions. This is the word I was looking for. So with interactions, I've been able to learn how to recalibrate my lovely twin flames, for example. That's why there's no saga or drama. Soulmates included. It's based on what you show me that you will want from our relationship, that I will know how to move with you and dance with you and have a good time. And always by meeting you with respect. And so your voice, your words, they count. What you tell me will count more than anything that I may ever feel inside. I will not take any action unless I'm having what is a direct conversation with you. And so, yeah, it's not hard to hear when somebody says you're not the one. I'm not into you that way. I know that we've had, you know, a great time, but you're not the one. And the part about when you're rejected, again, healthy self-worth women, I'm not rejected. When you say you don't want me in the same way I want you, this is what is called, we're incompatible. It's a difference of wanting, which as a person who loves you, I will not make it into a big deal, because I'm not going to pout about it, because otherwise, why would I use the word love? Love means I have compersion. I want you to be happy with your lovers. Not the other way around. You're not my property. This is where the polyamory community or monoamory comes into the mix. If you are a conscious lover, whether you're monoamorous or not, again, you'll not say, I'm going to keep you here. You will immediately know this is something that is not liked by me, but I accept it immediately because it's told to me to my face. I'm not going to make up some story, okay? The individuals who go looking up attachment, for example, and wounds, and that I see them going and commenting, or the ones who do the twin flame saga. These are all people who treat their relationships with labels, versus I and you are friends, right? So if I and you know each other and I am having, and I do have a conversation with you, this is always going to happen with a direct, healthy, self-worth human being. You ain't going to get silence from the person who's the healthy self-worth. And so that's why it's nice to be with people who are also that, because they talk to your face and they don't have a reactivity. So they're a conscious lover, number one. As for people who don't know how to talk to your face, we will not take the in and out behavior in a way that is confusing, because it is not confusing to me. It is a data point, and then another, and then another, and then another, and in every one of those data points, we will have recalibrated, because I will have talked to you, to your face, not behind your back. And I will have listened, I will have heard you. And so there's no questions about what we will have chosen as we interacted together. And so here's, again, very straightforward because of respect, mutual respect, healthy conflict, and conversations. That's what happens. When you have those who are not available emotionally, we don't really say that. These are not words that have come out of my mouth when I've engaged with my twin flames. I didn't have all the attachment trauma informed, soulmates included. I'm not going to go label someone. I can, if I want to, know who's an avoidant, who's a potentially, you know, any of the other ones. I will not be making any statement that's very egoic, that's of a codependent human being. I'm not that. Okay, so again, you're not going to go around thinking of people and let me go and pathologize you. No. We're growing relationships. What we talk about here on IHP is because we're having conversations. Then you have the columnist opinionated episodes. Ask Maria if you want any of this applied to something. And you're like, okay, you know what? I want to ask her about this. Let me see what she has to say. Because I can definitely share my opinions. I'm just saying, when you're in relationships, it's not how you handle them. None of my twin flames or soulmates are labeled by me as we went through our stuff and as we still go through our engagements. That I know words and that I can use stories, that I can explain anything. Yes, that's a whole different thing. But ask me what I think. They're all amazing. And whenever I don't like something, my mother taught me how to share. And that it's my life. So that's why solo, it's beautiful. You got more people to love, not less. And when you do notice how life gets more and more amazing, it's because, my lovely mystics, it gets more fun as you move into expansion of consciousness. Okay, so yeah, healthy self-worth partners, amazing. And that's not only romantic, that's also partners in life, because you share partners in a lot of ways. And the part about romance, and again, sex is not top of the list. Top of the list is, first of all, that you build a safe haven, secure-based relationship. That's where you get to be your inner child and they get to be their inner child, and you get to share heart to heart, and it's amazing. So yeah, it's pretty fun. And those relationships are the ones that get really fun as you begin to romance and flirt and, you know, maybe test those waters depending on how that goes. So it's always savored. Every moment of life gets savored as you build those amazing, healthy, self-worth relationships. And we'll be back with more. Have a great day.